Welcome to GVC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers, stay informed about GVC news and projects, and catch up on the latest news and happenings at the co-op, and more. Let's get started.
Hey, GVC team. Thanks for tuning in to the GVEC Unplugged podcast. I am Key Account and Project Planning Manager Michelle Scarborough. Today, I'll be chatting with a guest who has been on the podcast before, Economic Development Director Jerry Lyne. We decided to get together and have a chat as two of GVEC's resident travel experts, if you want to call us that, about our experiences in travel and especially our new outlook on travel after COVID. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. Are you excited to talk about today's topic?
I am. I am a travel addict as you are, and today is, what is it called? National Plan for Vacation.
It is.
Today is today.
You told us that the other day, and I was really excited to be able to spend this day with you and spend some time chatting with you about the thing that we love the most, probably, traveling.
Yeah. So I'm a big road tripper. I love to drive wherever I go, if at all possible. I know there's some places you have to fly, but very few and far between. And I know that you are an international travel person.
Yes.
So I remember long ago you coming to my office. I think you may have been even, I don't know where you were, maybe in Ireland. And you actually texted me some pictures and I was so excited to get them. And I was just living vicariously through your texts that you sent me. So I want to hear more about your trips.
Sure. Ireland's definitely up there on one of my top favorites. That was my first international trip, other than going to Mexico on a cruise. But it was a new experience for me, for sure. I definitely had a good time seeing the culture, and hospitality-wise, I'd say they're off the charts compared to any other country I've been to, including South Texas, which was kind of hard to believe when I was there. I think that whenever you're looking at traveling internationally, trying to experience the culture while you're there and try the food and see the sights is definitely a big part of what really gets me excited about traveling.
So there are so many things that I want to know, because I know you are an expert. I want to know how you travel as far as accommodations. Are you looking for like something as simple as a hostel, or do you guys do bed and breakfast? What kind of things do you look for when you're traveling? Do you set a budget? Do you plan way ahead? I want to know where all you've been. And I'm going to give you a chance here in just a second to answer these. But there's so many cool things. And I know you and I have talked, and you've said that there's some safety measures that you put in place when you go as far as registering and all that. So tell us about that first.
Sure, absolutely. So they have with the Department of State what they call the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, or STEP. And you can go on there and log your trip, every country you're going to, every city even, and they'll start sending you alerts about 6 weeks leading up to your trip about things that are going on, whether it's political protests or any sort of things you should be aware of environmentally or with the weather. So you can prepare when you're traveling and when you're making your plans so that you can avoid any of those high-risk areas, and definitely make sure you're packing any special, you know, raincoats or anything you might need while you're going to be there.
How many countries have you gone to?
Ooh, I have been to 7 total.
Wow. And what are they? Tell us what
they
are.
So Ireland, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Spain, and then the United Kingdom, or England, and then France.
Okay. And was there any special spot, even down to maybe a bakery or something? You can tell why I travel. But some special spot that just really captured you that you never forgot.
Yeah.
That's your favorite spot.
Absolutely. So the first thing that comes to mind, when we actually were in Spain, we took a day trip, if you can call it that. We just drove across the border into France. And we went to this little small restaurant. It was just a little hole in the wall owned by a couple. And every day they changed their menu based off of whatever fresh fish that they caught that day. And a lot of locals were coming in, and they were very nice and accommodating, and you could just see the pride that they took in their food and their establishment, and especially with how they interacted with the locals and us as well, even though, you know, we were very obviously Americans. So
yeah,
that definitely comes to mind first, is just really being able to see the culture and seeing people take ownership and pride in whatever they're doing.
So when you have traveled abroad, do you rent a car usually, or do you take public transportation? How have you worked that?
We've done both. So in Ireland, we did a rental car, and that was our first time driving on the other side of the road. So luckily, no accidents. We were able to avoid any of that. And then when we were in Germany, we took train travel. So we went from Germany to Salzburg and then over to Switzerland. And that was a very unique experience, especially taking the train through the Swiss Alps. Beautiful. It was the middle of winter.
Oh,
there
wow.
was snow. Yes. It was very magical. Oh. And being a Harry Potter nerd, I love the train travel experience myself. And then in Spain, we did a rental car as well.
Okay. Are you one of those people that packs a backpack and goes to Europe for 10 days? Or are you like a take two bags with you?
Well, not the latter, but I did take a backpack a couple of times and then just a suitcase. Whenever we get a rental car, it's easy to take a suitcase because you can just load it up. I would recommend the backpacks if you're going to be doing public transport and trying to catch trains, because it's very difficult to run with a suitcase.
So I'm trying to tag you whether you are a vagabond traveler, like freewheeling, or, and I can't quite get there, you're somewhere in between, I think, or if you are stay in really nice places and eat really nice breakfasts. So which are you?
Well, it's funny. We are actually, my husband and I would say, are a combination of the two. We do like to experience the world while we're there and experience the culture. So while we aren't really frugal, while we live, you know, just our normal lives, we are a little bit more reserved with our spending, so that when we do travel, we can experience and not be as concerned with trying to save money. So, but I've done both. I've done hostels. I've done hotels. I definitely am a huge B&B person, especially Airbnb, for the ease and simplicity of it. I think having that combination allows you to really splurge and experience whenever the situation does arise. And it, even if it is maybe a little more costly in that moment, because you've made concessions on other side, you're able to put that forth.
So we were talking about dogs before we started, and we're not going to go any further than that. But have you ever taken your dogs abroad with you?
No, I haven't. And that's mostly because I don't know how they do on the plane, because they have to go into the cargo space. And I've done a lot of research and reading on different issues that can arise from that. And I love my animals too much. I would love to be able to take them, but that's a risk I just haven't been comfortable taking just yet.
And so do you travel here in the United States or Canada? Have you been to Canada?
Have not, no, okay. But it is high on our list.
Okay. And so when you travel here in the United States, do you take your dogs usually with you?
Yeah, we do. Anywhere we can road trip to, if we're going on a road trip, then we definitely take them.
And so we were talking earlier also about looking that you, so I'm assuming you look for places where dogs are welcome.
Yes, that's the first filter I turn on in Airbnb whenever we're looking for places to go.
And I wasn't going to admit this, but it's the first filter I turn on, because I do not want to stay at a place where they welcome dogs. Please, no one think less of me.
So there's a couple of things I want to recommend for our listeners, for anyone that is considering traveling abroad. One of those is the Global Entry Program, which allows you to skip customs when you're coming back in, and that can shorten your wait time for 2 hours or more, depending on how many people are trying to fly into your airport. If you were just to Google Global Entry, then that takes you to the Custom and Border Patrol website, and you can walk through that application. And it also comes with ESA PreCheck, which is a big benefit there for when you're traveling, even within the states.
Wow, those are fantastic tips. Did you learn all that on your own by trial and error? Did you have any mishaps along the way, or have to wait in long, long lines that caused you to think, hey, there's maybe a better way?
Yes, actually, our first international trip from Ireland, when we came back into Philadelphia, the wait was excruciating, and we were tired and hungry and ready to get home. And we stood there for probably 2.5 hours. And after that, I just started doing some research and seeing what else was out there for frequent international travelers that could help with it. I want to mention Next Vacay, which is a website that was started by a couple who just loved to travel. And they were actually very smart in the IT and software engineering, or something far beyond my technical understanding. And they created this website called Next Vacay for themselves. And what they would do was search all of the databases for flight deals, and then they would get emails to themselves whenever one popped up.
So is that an app? Because you told me about that one time, and I think you sent me the information,
yes.
And I don't think I ever executed.
But you're not a flyer.
it's just an app that you can get on.
It's actually a website. So they didn't develop an app, but you can enter your email, and there is a $25 annual subscription. But from what I've seen, it's been worth it. We were able to book our flights to Germany for a 400 round trip out of Dallas. Yeah, it was a really good deal. And then also to Spain, we got those for about $550. Definitely makes Europe much more affordable and much more attainable for those who are traveling on a budget like myself.
What is the shortest time that you think it would be worth? Like I was telling my sister, I said, let's go to Italy. We're going to do it this year. We're going to leave on a Wednesday, come back on Sunday. And I had several people tell me, that's insane.
It's terrible.
I thought it sounded like a great idea. So tell me, how long do you need to go to when you travel abroad to make it worth your while?
I would say plan to at least be gone 7 days, 10 if you could manage to get away that long. It's going to take you at least 2 days to get, you know, the jet lag gone and get accustomed to moving and grooving every day if that's not your normal routine. So I would say at least go for 7. A very long weekend in Italy is just not realistic.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm going to go back to driving in Europe. So when I think in terms of just, you know, driving across Texas, did you literally just drive along and stop and see things along the way? Or are you guys destination oriented? Were you destined to get somewhere?
A little bit of both. So I recommend using the Google Navigation app when you're abroad. Most of the reviews that people use internationally are on Google or TripAdvisor. When you're driving through, they'll actually show you, based off of your location, different destinations or attractions that might interest you. But when we're planning, we try to maybe plan for one event that day. And if we get to it, we're not super frustrated about it, but just to kind of maybe target our driving route, and then we'll branch off from there. So a little bit of both, the planning as well as just kind of seeing what comes.
Yeah. I always find that when you're driving, there are, I'm not going to say the silliest little things, but the most interesting things along the way. No matter where you are, no matter what town you're on, no matter what road you're on, there are cool things along the way that cause you to want to stop and see. I have discovered the most wonderful book. I call it the Bible of Texas, maybe travel, but certainly Texas driving and Texas road tripping. And it is a woman, her name is June Naylor. It's called Texas Off the Beaten Path. Has the most amazing things. So one of the places that she had written about in the book is in Coleman, Texas. And I don't know if you've ever been to Coleman, Texas, but whenever I ask someone, they're like, ooh, that's like a deer hunting spot. And I don't deer hunt, but there are some refurbished like 1940s motor court there.
Oh, cool.
And so we ended up there. And ever since then, I never go anywhere that I don't read her book and find out what's there. Mm-hmm. So it is a must-have book. You can get it on Amazon. It's from June Naylor, and it's called Texas Off the Beaten Path.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yes.
Did you come across that on your own, or was it recommended to you, or how'd you find it?
I had seen it. And I really have no idea. I don't remember how I first came across it. And for those of you that are Instagram travel junkies, you know, Texas Off the Beaten Path is a big hashtag.
So I guess that brings me to, when you're thinking about your own trips, are you more inclined to have several long weekends a year, or do you prefer one long vacation somewhere in the middle of that? Or what's your ideal annual vacation?
I probably... my husband Tim tells me that I would like to go somewhere every weekend, but as I get older, I'm not wanting to do that quite as much. Mm-hmm. And I'm discovering that during COVID, you've got to plan a little bit. Airbnbs are they're just booked up everywhere,
really?
Even through the end of the year. And so I'm having to put a little bit more effort into that, but I like to just get in the car and go and see what we can find.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me, if there are others who are so inclined, but they prefer to fly, there's this app called Hit List, and you can log in and pull it up, and it'll show you any last minute weekend travel deals from your home airport. So if you wanted to go to Chicago for the weekend, or I don't know, Philadelphia, you know, it would help you just book something last minute if you wanted to do more of that spontaneous traveling, but weren't sure about where to go.
So I used to always say, this was a plan, we were doing it no matter what. I never could figure out how to execute it. I wanted to leave early one morning, come home in the middle of the night, and just fly up to New York and walk, you know, from one end of Manhattan to the other. This was back in a different time, though. I mean, things have changed a lot in the last year, and not just because of COVID, but I just wanted to make that happen.
24 hours in New York. That does not sound very enjoyable for most people. Why do you want to do a trip like that?
Oh my gosh, because just like if you're driving, you see all the details along the road. Well, if you even get out of the car and you're not driving and you're walking or riding a bike, as you know, you see things you would never see. So probably 25 years ago, my sister and I did that. We started down by the Statue of Liberty and walked all the way up Manhattan. And we found the coolest places that we had ever seen. I don't know if it's different now. I mean, I've said this before when I went to Japan, I don't ever have an issue with safety. I never feel unsafe, although I probably should. And so it's just intriguing. We found one store that was just bolts and bolts and racks from floor to ceiling of all kinds of ribbon. Mm-hmm. And although that may not sound that interesting, it was pretty cool. We spent hours in there.
Like ribbon, like
just like bolts of cloth ribbon.
Oh,
and
really?
Rickrack. You may even know what rickrack is anymore.
I don't. What is rickrack?
In restaurants. You know, you just don't find those places if you're just driving in the car, even in that instance.
But why 24 hours? Why wouldn't you want to stay the night?
I think it was just like, you know, I ask you if you were a vagabond traveler, and I'm a wannabe vagabond traveler. I mean, I like to think that I'm going to be this really groovy girl that straps on a backpack and goes, that is really not the reality for me. I keep even talking about camping. We go out to Big Bend State Park, and I want to go camping, and there's no facilities. There's nothing there. There's no showers, nothing. But you're completely isolated, and Tim says, you wouldn't survive one night. It isn't going to happen. But I like to think that I'm like that. Mm-hmm. And so just throwing a backpack on, getting on a plane early in the morning, spending the day, coming home, it has some kind of super adventurous appeal. I don't know that I'll ever do it. I did learn something this summer.
What?
We used to just be much more spontaneous. And my daughter, you know, we'd been talking about going back to Colorado for like, you know, 3 years. And then weeks, we could never get a week, right? And this and that. And my daughter this summer said, next week I'm going to Colorado and I'm executing this. And if you want to come, you can go. And I was like, okay, I'm there. And so it taught me again that you don't have to sit and plan forever. Mm-hmm. Although you do have to plan ahead if you want the greatest, coolest Airbnb on the beach or wherever, because they fill up. But you can do things just on the spur of the minute and don't stop and overthink it. And I think people do that because I got to where I did that. Going back to the little motor court in Coleman, what we discovered is we were taking a trek up north of Abilene, then back down, going to Fort Davis, going to Big Bend. And so we like to take all those little zigzags across the state. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered in Coleman, Texas, little tiny Coleman, Texas, is there are some just fabulous houses like from the 1950s, mm-hmm. that have been completely restored. They look like the Brady Bunch houses. I mean, inside and out, they're beautiful.
So you could actually go inside the houses.
Yes. Wow. Yes. One of them is an Airbnb. And then we also discovered, when I tell you we've discovered this, we didn't just go once. We went the last two weekends as well. They have a pharmacy called the Owl Pharmacy that serves up the most fabulous lattes and fabulous breakfast.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Yes, yes. Like the old, old drugstore. And just, you know, nothing's polished. They have all this weird stuff hanging from the ceiling for decorations. And then if you're, so that's just kind of the down home piece of it. There are two restaurants that have opened though, which were, these were a couple that was in the film industry and they bought a ranch outside of Coleman, Texas. She's a chef as well. And they've opened two restaurants that are gourmet restaurants. One is a pizza place, if you can call pizza gourmet, and it is. It's called Rancho Loma Pizza, for those of you that might want to jump up and head out that way. And the other one is called Black Kerr Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And the most delicious pear martini I've ever had in my life. I wanted to drink like four of them, but after one, I didn't drink anymore. And that's why I went back the next weekend. I was like, let's go back over there. Let's go eat again. And I want another pear martini. I mean, that's just some little dive town right in the middle of Central Texas.
Well, I have never had a pear martini, but now I'm totally interested. So it sounds like you you like new places and you like new experiences, but you also kind of find things that you love and you like to revisit. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, totally. Because all the places that we've been, we want to go back again, but you realize there's so many other great places out there.
Uh-huh. I was just going to say, how do you decide? There's only so many weekends a year. How do you decide if you're going to go revisit someplace or if you're going to open your book and pick somewhere new?
Well, it's funny you say that, open your book. I'm listening to you talk about all these cool apps and websites. Mm-hmm. And I know that's the travel of the future. I know that's where the meat and potatoes of travel is now and all the really good stuff. But thinking about us getting together today, I was like, I need my book and I have to have a map. A real deal map. And if you've never, every year, what is it? Texas Travel. It's the state of Texas. You can get on there every year, get a hard copy, real deal travel book. Not as good as Off the Beaten Path, but it's a real deal travel book with every region of the state, every event that goes on in the state. And they'll send you an updated Texas map. Every year you can get those for free delivered to your mailbox.
That's awesome.
So you have to get off the highway. You have to drive the county roads to find these wonderful things. Mm-hmm. If you're just on your phone, you just don't see anything and you don't feel it and you don't absorb it and you don't know the route at the end of the day. You don't know where you went. But if you're looking at a map, my dad taught me this great love of maps. My dad is a map freak and he has maps of everything across the entire world. There's something really wonderful about looking at a map and seeing the big picture of where you're going.
That's true. That's inspiring. I think everyone's going to rush out and get a map now just so they could
be like Jerry. Run on maps.
We should all be like Jerry and be more spatially intelligent. I think that's great. We actually, last time we were in Colorado, which also coincidentally was also this past summer, we bought a hiking guide book because we take our dogs and not all hiking trails are pet friendly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we have that. And then I also have the All Trails app. So I do both. You know, I love the book scene, but I think there's beauty in the apps being updated regularly.
Speaking of books, So one of my favorite things to do when I'm traveling is, and this is usually in the big cities, but there's a fabulous bookstore in Alpine, Texas. I'd love to seek out bookstores. Mm-hmm. And I could spend all day just looking at all the great stuff they have.
Have you
across some good bookstores?
Yes. Well, actually, when I was in Ireland, I came across a Harry Potter book in Gaelic.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't purchase it. It was actually very expensive, but I took a picture of it. That was a really cool find, you know. I, too, love going to bookstores, especially the small ones, you know, the little hole-in-the-wall shops. And I can remember Jordan one time in a meeting saying that she likes to buy a book every time she travels somewhere. And that kind of spoke with me. So I started doing that too, even if it's, you know, a Sherlock Holmes book or just something that you can remember and put on your bookshelf and look at later.
Oh, I love that. I've got to remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, that reminds me. So when we were in Spain, we stayed in this monastery that they transferred into an Airbnb, actually. And when we walk in, they have all of this old furniture in there, like from 1800s. It was very antique and beautiful and intricately carved. And so my husband, Chris, who's big into that historical stuff, was in his heaven, right? He's exploring all the furniture and admiring it. Well, I look over and there's this huge bookshelf with, you know, hundreds of books. So that was my heaven. So it was literally the best night, you know, of our trip, because I was looking at all of the books and reading them in different languages and, well, looking at them in different languages.
Oh, that just sounds so fantastic.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience.
So how important is food? I was going to say food in the places you stay, but yeah. How important is food? Is that a part of your whole experience?
Oh, absolutely.
When you go?
Okay. So, I said we don't like to map everything out, but my husband likes to map out his meals. Depending on what restaurant he wants to eat at that day, we'll kind of make sure we're in that area and seeing whatever we can so we could hit up whatever food.
Yeah.
And we also, a huge benefit to staying in Airbnb is being able to ask the locals for tips. And so they'll share restaurants and stuff that aren't in the apps or aren't on Google. And it's a good way to experience the culture from, or as if you were, an islander or a local.
Yes.
But yes, food's very important.
Oh, it's the most important to me.
Are you a foodie? Are you taking pictures of your meals? And
no, I was going to ask you, I'm a big social media person. Uh-huh. I love doing all that stuff. It's hard to keep up because I always want to have a great story with it. And there's no time to write all that.
Yeah.
So are you a poster about your trips?
Actually, I was going to ask you the same thing. I like to save it all up and enjoy the experience while I'm there. And then when I come back, half the, you know, half the fun of coming home is being able to look back and re-experience, relive those moments. I'll usually save it up and just post my favorites and keep most of them for myself. Even though I had hundreds of pictures from Spain this past 2 years ago, I only posted maybe 30.
So I have a friend in New Braunfels and went over to her house the other night, and she said every night, they travel abroad a lot as well. And she had all her books lined up on the bookcase, all her photo books. And every night when she's on vacation, she downloads all the photos to her computer. And then when she comes home, she puts together this beautiful book. And I thought,
I love that.
Fail. I mean, I can't do it. I can tell you I can't do it. I can hardly go through the pictures now.
You seem like someone who probably gets very caught up in the moment, and maybe you forget to take pictures when you're looking at something really beautiful. Is that accurate, or do you think you have a good mix?
No, I really like to take pictures. Okay. I like to take pictures and think about what I'm going to write about it. I just don't execute.
I think that's part of that marketing brain, I think, that you're able to
well,
do that.
Well, and I like, not only do I like to view myself as a travel vagabond, which I am not, I also like to view myself as a travel writer, which I am not.
You're an unrecognized travel writer.
Yes. So I always see that. And, you know, like I was talking about the owl pharmacy, you know, I took pictures of the girls in the owl farm. Oh, and last year when we were there, there was a group, this was back in the day when, you know, before COVID, when people were coffee drinkers, and there was a group of elderly gentlemen all packed into a booth drinking coffee. And I told Tim, I said, I'm gonna take their picture so I can write about it. And he goes, Jerry, please don't ask them that. These guys are not going to be receptive to that. They're not going to like it. And I was like, please, I'm just going to ask. So I did it anyway. And they were so excited. They're like, oh, yeah. You know, and they all posed and everything.
That's awesome.
And so I love to take pictures of people along the way. And I bet that's of appeal abroad as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, if you can get over your aversion to flying, I think that you would totally love going abroad and being able to photograph people in their natural habitat and seeing the different types of dress they might have. And there's tons of festivals and art festivals, stuff like that, that you can just go partake in on a whim. I can definitely see them being excited for Jerry to walk up and ask them to take a photo.
Yeah, take your photo.
Well, you just have that presence when you enter a room. You can make people feel welcome immediately. So
I have had people turn me down.
That's funny. Well, Jerry, if you were going to write a book about your travels, I would totally invest and read it. So you can put all of that unrecognized writings to to paper and sell it. So I have a couple questions that I really want to make sure and ask you that I've been thinking about since we found out we were going to be able to sit and talk about traveling together. When you're thinking about planning for a road trip or planning for a day trip, what are the top three tips that you would recommend to our listeners if they're looking at doing something like that?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm not obviously not organized and a good planner, but is always have a full tank of gas.
That's
so when we went to Colorado last summer, my girls, both of my girls went with me, and we took all the mountain passes we could, and I have a four-wheel drive, so we went as far back off the road as we could possibly get and still feel good about it. And they thought I was obsessive about getting gas, and I said, you always want to have gas, because then we can go wherever we want to go and not worry about it. And of course, when we got to West Texas, there is, you know, few and far between, so every time you find a place, always fill up with gas.
Good tip. I'd say a normal life too.
In normal life too. I don't know how many times I've driven my GVEC car from Seguin to Gonzales on 90A and my light is on. It's always such a relief when you get to the gas station.
Okay, so tip one is have a full tank of gas. What's number two?
I don't know that I have any specific tips. I'd like to say, like, you know, always make sure you have water and a snack, but that's, I don't do that. And I don't know, just don't be on a timeline. Don't just be ready to go and stop wherever and
be flexible.
Be flexible. Yeah, that's the tip right there. Be flexible.
I like it. Okay. You have a third for us?
Not that I know of. I think about it later.
We can come back to it.
So what are your top three tips?
I would say if you're looking at traveling internationally, obviously you have to have a passport. I would recommend global entry. Doing some of those, you know, tedious things up front. Taking care of a lot of that checklist items beforehand is obviously a big thing. Second, I would say, is to research the culture of where you're going. You went to Japan, and I know there's different things that they recommend for women traveling to another culture like that. As far as, I think you have to wear pants and such things like that, that if you were to be our American selves, it might be seen as insulting or something. And then the last thing is be willing to deviate. It's good to have a schedule or at least a kind of a mapped route that you want to go or things you want to see, but you're going to get tips from locals. You're going to get, you know, if you're staying in Airbnbs especially, they're going to recommend things in their local area that you might be worth seeing. So definitely be flexible, like you said, being willing to deviate from your plan.
Where did you get an interest in travel?
Well, I grew up in Cuero, Texas, which...
I did not know that.
Yeah, no offense to anyone from Cuero, Texas, but it's definitely not, in my opinion, a travel destination.
Oh, isn't that funny? It's on my list. It's on my list of a must go to.
Oh,
go
funny.
Ahead. I can't wait to tell
well,
you about it.
Well, it's the difference in growing up there. And I haven't lived there since, I don't know, 2004-ish. So it's probably changed a whole bunch
since
then.
I love it. I love that.
But my world was very small. You know, I didn't experience much. We didn't take family vacations. When I got to college, I knew I wanted to have a different life. Where does your love breed from?
Well, I was going to say, my mom, we traveled all the time.
Uh-huh.
And every summer we took like a 3-week vacation and she took us everywhere and wanted us to, she and my dad, wanted us to see everything. And I was talking earlier about my dad, to some of you, and he's almost 86. He is on a mission to buy a fifth wheel and we're all just cringing. But even now he's by himself and he wants to travel.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, it's that freedom and that being in the destination. And it's funny you said that about Cuero because that really was one of my top spots for a day trip.
Really?
So all of you here in the GBC area, that is, it's truly a destination. They have the most wonderful shopping.
Mm-hmm.
They have a beautiful little strip of downtown that has really great shops.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking for antiques, you know, clothing, any of that kind of stuff, old junk, just whatever. It's a great little strip there. Even though it's small, they've got a couple of really great restaurants and not every small town can boast that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can go down, do a little shopping, but the biggest thing that I have found there that is just, I mean, literally I could spend 2 days there is their mix of museums.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to say I've never been to the Cuero Heritage Museum. So that's another one, but I've not been there. But the Chisholm Trail Museum, you know, recently they had an Andy Warhol exhibit. When I tell people about it, I say it's a world-class museum and it's a world-class museum right there in Cuero, Texas. And then if you loop on around the corner downtown, is the Pharmacy Museum.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been there?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, Michelle, you are...
There's this whole world in Cuero, Texas I didn't know about.
The Pharmacy Museum, you can spend the day.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think it was an operating pharmacy for like 124 years, something like that. And so all of the stuff that was stored all that time, I think it's more than what they can put out.
Uh-huh.
And the walls are just lined with every kind of little bottle. There's a little bottle of cyanide on one of the shelves. I mean, if that's your thing, and I just can't imagine
thing.
It not being anybody's thing, because they have an iron lung.
Uh-huh.
They have a display about one of the pandemics that hit, you know, I hate to sound so not with it, but I don't think it was the Spanish flu. It was something
mm-hmm.
else, but,
mm-hmm.
and they tell the story of that.
So eventually there will be a COVID display maybe.
yeah. In 100 years.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a fascinating place. And they have all kinds of Coke dispensers from 100 years ago.
That's
and
cool.
I hate to keep using the world class and it's not a world class museum as far as what you think of like that. But I think there's things in the Pharmacy Museum that are probably not anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't know it. That leads me to Gonzales, because in Gonzales, have you been to the library?
No.
Okay.
I had to think about it.
Okay. Well, it's not a place you think about going.
Uh-huh. I mean, personally, I love libraries.
It's a great library. But aside from that, they have an area that I believe it's called the Texas History Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lithograph of Sam Houston in there. I think there's only it's one of three that ever existed. There are signed documents from Sam Houston hanging on the wall. There are original pictures of Quanah Parker and just... Oh my gosh, the most magnificent things you've ever seen, just lining the walls.
Mm-hmm.
A lady donated her collection to the library and they made I believe it's called the Texas History Center. And then book after book after book of all kinds of history of our whole region. In fact, I was in there the other day and the GBC history book is in there.
Oh,
and I
really?
Thought that was kind of cool.
That yeah. is.
And then also in the library, they have a, and I am going to call this world class. I don't know a thing about guns, hardly at all. But I have been told over and over that it is a really significant gun collection that is located inside the vault at the Gonzales Library.
Well, I love that you can see the beauty and culture no matter where you're at, even if it's, you know, the town that you're currently residing in. And that just goes to show you don't have to travel to the other side of the world to have a new experience. You could find it in your own community.
Do you ever get out and drive just back roads around?
Yeah, we do. Especially, you know, we talked about the dogs. We like to just load them up in the car and just take off. They really love car rides and they don't care where we're going. They just love to go. That's one of their favorite words is go. So, but yeah, we do. We like to take random lake day or go up to Fredericksburg for the day or Wimberley even is a really cool town. So
are you a wine drinker?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
And beer too.
As you know, there are hundreds of wineries in the Hill Country.
Oh, absolutely.
And many of them right there in Fredericksburg. And that used to be one of our favorite spots. And we could go time and time and time and time again and see something new every time. Of course, for me, if you go to Fredericksburg, it's got to be about where you stay and what you eat. Or it could be boring. I mean, it's all about these wonderful places they have. But it's become like so many places. And this is where I've said I'm not seeking crowds anymore. But it's become, there's so many wineries and so many buses and so many people.
Well, and most of them now you have to actually schedule your tasting if you want to do it because of COVID. If anyone is looking to go to Fredericksburg or they haven't in a while, that is something they should plan ahead a little bit, at least to book a tasting if that's what you want to do. It's much harder now, I think, to winery hop if that was something people did before than, you know, now with COVID regulations and everything.
So that whole area is, if you go up to Llano, I don't know. I doubt if you and I, either one, are rock collectors.
No,
you
know, I used to be as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you can do rock hunting there by Llano. So if you go up, you know, Fredericksburg, Wimberley, Llano, Leukenbach, what else is through there? And you just make that loop and come back. Oh my gosh, that's a breathtaking day.
Really?
Yeah.
How long of a drive is that? And just to kind of do that loop? Several hours.
From where I am in Gonzales, I mean, that's a day trip for sure. That's a whole day.
Right.
I was going to say sun up to sundown. That's a little much. I don't get up at sun up. But.
So it seems like you don't just go for the shopping and the museums. And
oh, no,
food.
I hate shopping.
Oh, you just like to see you just like to see the shop.
Yes. And I say I hate shopping. I don't like shopping when I have to get something. I love rummaging through things.
So what's been your longest road trip that you've taken?
We went to Carlsbad. I think we were gone for like 12 days and went to Carlsbad. We went through Albuquerque, which I love Albuquerque.
Yeah,
there's the coolest bed and breakfast there. We stayed in the spy house.
Oh, really?
And the spy house is where the atomic secrets traded hands with the Russians.
And they made it into an Airbnb or a traditional bed and breakfast?
It's a traditional bed and breakfast.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Most delicious coffee in the world in the morning. Loved it. In fact, I've gone back there 3 or 4 times now. But we went up through there and ended up in Arizona. And have you ever been to the mountains in Arizona?
I've been to Scottsdale and Phoenix, but nowhere else.
I'm going to show my total ignorance here because I did not know that Arizona had mile-high mountains. And so Jerome, Arizona was... they call it the $1 million view. It's an old mining town. It's not very commercialized. It may be, that's been a couple of years ago, but you can literally see for miles and miles and miles because you're like 5,000 feet up. Went there, I don't know if that was the same trip. We went to Sedona and Tim said, let's just keep driving. And because we were almost to California. So we're like, okay, let's keep going. But you're not thinking, I got to return. And so it was a really funny moment for us because we're like, okay, we could keep driving and driving westward ho, but we got to get back home.
It's a long way.
So we stopped once we got to California and headed back home. Yeah. So about 12 days, and that's not a long, long time. I mean, I could have stayed gone longer than that, but it was just enough to just love everything.
Right. No, that sounds amazing. That's something that Chris and I, my husband, we've talked about a lot, is just loading it up and taking off and seeing where we end up, but we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
We need to be like Jerry.
And that trip, you talk about being flexible and veering off, we were headed to the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some other places we liked better. We never made it to the Grand Canyon. And that was okay.
Yeah. So do you plan your nights at least, if you're going to be staying at bed and breakfast, or do you kind of see where you end up for the night and try to find a place to stay?
I think in that case, because we did veer off, we ended up, oh, and that's funny about the pets, because we ended up at this place that was just, it was a wonderful place. It was actually like an old, okay, when you say old motel, that sounds like the Bates Motel, but it was old and it had been refurbished, and uh-huh. It was, you know, they served wine, and it was a really wonderful place. But when we walked in, they had the dog bowls out for your dogs and your pets. And I
Did
was
you
like,
turn
oh, no, no, no. She was like, okay, just wait a minute. It's probably great. And it was absolutely great.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad that it didn't deter you to see a harmless bowl on the ground.
But you do have to plan ahead right uh-huh. now. We are wanting to go somewhere for Christmas, and I'm finding that all of the destinations I want to go to are the same destinations everybody wants to go to.
Really? So this far out, they're already booked.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads me to my other question is, what's next for you? What's the next trip that you're working on? Where were you trying to go for Christmas that you're having trouble booking?
We're trying to go somewhere in the snow.
Okay.
My kids want to go somewhere where it snows. I don't care anything about the skiing aspect of it, but they want to do the skiing aspect of it. Yeah. So probably the next trip that I'm working on, and I say I'm not a planner. My sister is a travel planner.
By the minute planner?
Oh,
or?
No, but she has time though.
Uh-huh.
She has time to kill. And so she maps everything out. She and I are going to go take a trip to see my aunt, who lives up by Chicago. And we're going to, you know, see whatever we want to do along the
way.
Yeah. I invited her
to
go.
It's a nice long road trip. You said you're driving up there?
Yes. Yeah. And just for the record, I want to clarify, I'm not afraid to fly. I you know what it is? The airports have become so busy
mm-hmm.
and so many delays mm-hmm. and I'm not knocking them on that, but I think what really did it for me is I was in Midland, and I think it took me like 12 hours to get home.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought I could have been in my own car playing my own GBEC podcast. No, my own music. And, you know, just going, stopping when I wanted, eating what I wanted.
Right.
Instead, I'm packed on this plane, and it's just, you know, it's for me, with the exception of the Japanese Airlines, which was just like being at the spa.
Really?
You know, just the airport is just a very hectic place anymore. Yeah.
That's true. And I'd say, especially during COVID, we went to Florida for Christmas to see some family out there. And gosh, there were so many people. I could definitely tell that there were people who either were tired of being cooped up, or they were, you know, just looking to visit family they hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, I think people are ready to get out.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that the TSA pre-check definitely helps, because you can just fly right through through security, through TSA, and get to your gate quicker. So, but if you're doing a road trip, you don't have to worry about airport food, which is very pricey, or anything like that.
Okay, so obviously, if I'm traveling, just road tripping and traveling locally, I don't have to deal with any kind of language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Except those really country people. When you're traveling, how do you handle that? Have you ever had any big issues with a language barrier?
Yes, but one thing that as Americans we're a little spoiled on is the fact that most people in Europe actually do speak English. But it's funny that you ask about that, because when we landed in Ireland, the person who gave us a taxi ride to pick up our rental car was speaking English, but his accent was so strong. I remember looking at Chris and I was thinking, can you understand this guy? but he was speaking English. It just took about 4 seconds after he stopped talking to figure out approximately what he was probably asking. So, besides that, there have been a few instances of language barriers. Apple actually has an app now for translation, which we didn't have when we left on our last international trip. But when we went to Spain, so what's really unique about Spain is they actually have three kind of segregated areas where they all speak a different language. You know, trying to navigate and you know, I was listening to Learn Spanish with Paul Noble and Audible before going, and a very helpful book, but completely off base on how to ask for things. And, you know, there's a very formal way to ask for red wine. And then if you just say tintos, that's how you order 2 glasses of red wine at a restaurant. So little things like that, that when you're there, you'll pick up. And for the most part, people are generally okay with trying to help you out. Hopefully I wasn't speaking something really terrible. But yeah, it is interesting. And I'd say that's part of the experience, is getting comfortable in the uncomfortable and realizing that you have to learn, you know, in that instance and trying to overcome
that. So in Spain, there
that.
Were three different, were they just dialects or?
Three solo languages or solo, three different dialects, yes, but true languages as well. So, you know, Spanish, of course, And then there's Catalonian, which is kind of the San Sebastian area. And then there's Basque, Catalonia is the Barcelona area. And then Basque is the San Sebastian area. So three completely different dialects.
You know, hearing you say that, I know this sounds grandiose, but this is like a big wide world out there of
it's
things
huge.
That we don't know anything about.
Uh-huh.
And that's like such a simple thing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I mean, I did not know that.
And I didn't either. My husband's really well-versed on history and global politics. So he definitely helped with a lot of that. When we were going and trying to navigate those different cultures. Yeah, it is unique, because if I hadn't have gone there, I would have never known that or never read about it. Or while we were there, there was actually protests in the Catalonia region because they wanted their own separate representation in government. And that's not how Spain is currently set up. So, but that's how it is on the Basque region. So they were fighting to have the same rights as the Basque region, where they had their own representation. And just being able to experience that and, you know, trying to understand and put yourself in their shoes and imagine what it would be like to feel like you're an unrepresented people.
Yeah. The more you, what is it? The more you know.
Exactly.
The more you know.
Draw a rainbow in the sky.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. Wow.
So I have one last, question for our listeners. So obviously with COVID, people are probably avoiding big travels, big trips. So what are some small trips or local trips or things you'd recommend for people that want to get out or get away for a day or a weekend that they can still experience during this pandemic time frame?
So for sure, for me, that's going to be never underestimate the power of your local county roads.
Okay.
There were so many back road, dirt roads that I had never been on in DeWitt County, in Lavaca County, in Gonzales County. They're endless.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for those of you that live out in the country and, you know, that's an everyday thing. Yes, it was something that was just fabulous. I went back to the same, this is going to make me sound like I'm crazy, but went back with my granddaughter to the same field of cows so that we could stand in the sunroof and moo at them and they would come to the fence. And for somebody like me who was not in the country, that was pretty cool. And every time she comes back, we go to the same cows and they come to the fence and we've made friends with them. But, you know, the wildflowers were, I'm a wildflower seeker because I love taking photos,
mm-hmm.
but ended up over, and I don't even know that I could find it again, a back dirt road off somewhere going through Shiner. The most beautiful, amazing bluebonnets and wildflowers that I've ever seen. And I would have never seen that mm-hmm. had I not just gotten out and taken a drive. So, you know, if you're feeling cramped up and stuck in your house, oh my gosh, these country drives are just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That does sound like a nice, relaxing and enjoyable weekend.
Yes. So Michelle, how many times a year do you travel abroad?
Oh, definitely at least, or not at least, at most one, just because of the time commitment and also the monetary commitment that comes with traveling abroad. Never done more than one
okay.
in a year.
So how are you during COVID, because we're not able to travel abroad at all right now, how are you scratching that itch
right.
to get out and go?
Well, a lot of YouTube videos of people recording their own travels.
Oh, I love it.
We like to watch those on the weekends. I think half the fun of traveling abroad is looking into destinations and maybe trying to figure out what's something that's a little off the beaten path, like you were talking about, but planning for part of it. And that doesn't mean necessarily scheduling everything by the hour or by the destination, but just looking into all these places that we want to go to and making that, you know, ever-growing list of vacations and travel spots we want
to
see.
Would you like to go to someplace like India or Asia? Or I know you've mainly traveled in Europe.
Uh-huh. Not so much India, but definitely Asia. Thailand, Vietnam, those are high up on the list too. Japan, which you got to experience. And then also Australia and New Zealand. So that side of the world too, which I haven't ventured quite that far. But yeah, are absolutely.
Are you in the process of planning anything right now for the future?
Well, our next trip was actually going to be our honeymoon whenever we do get to book that, but we're looking at a Scottish honeymoon. So back to the UK for us on the next trip, but looking at Croatia and Italy, and we have a friend from Sydney, so going to Australia, and then, you know, Thailand and Vietnam are high up there too. So remember that ever-growing list I was talking about? So
you've been to Scotland, right?
No,
you've been to Ireland. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you are planning your trip to Scotland, are you going to stay, are some of the castles open that you can stay in them?
Now, as far as COVID, I'm not sure. It'll be a little bit before we book that, but they do have bed and breakfast or traditional hotels in the castles. So that's part of the fun, is exploring that and being able to, you know, stay in a Scottish castle hotel.
So I don't know if you know this, but you can spend the night down in Goliad at the Presidio.
And if you look at
the reviews online, it says it's kind of scary because you're like the only people there in this old fort. So
oh, really?
I'm not sure I want to do that or not.
That sounds fascinating.
But I bet the castles to stay there would just be absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I haven't experienced that yet. It definitely is high up on our list.
All right, so here is to, we're in 2021. Here is to your fantastic honeymoon in Scotland in 2022.
Thank you. And here's to all of your trips that you have yet to plan this year, since you like to fly by the seat of your pants on your travel destinations.
All right, Michelle, I got one last question for you before we go. What is one of your favorite experiences?
I definitely have to say, obviously, getting engaged in Spain was a big one. We went to this, you know, hundreds-year-old rock outcrop over the San Sebastian Bay area, and they have these little chutes within the rock structure that allow water, as the waves are crashing in, to shoot, and then it sprays a mist up, and it's beautiful. And to see something that's as old as our country that people
and
have.
That's where you were engaged.
That's
at?
Where we got engaged. That's
oh
where he
my gosh,
asked
can't
the question.
See that?
So it was beautiful, and there was actually a school field trip there that day, and these little kids were running around and trying to stand over and get wet with the spraying mist. But I have to say that's probably my favorite.
You know what? That's just like out of a Hallmark movie. Uh-huh. I can just envision it.
There was a lot of planning that went into that moment, and I give my husband props for that. So it was very
and
romantic.
What city was it again?
In San Sebastian in Spain.
San Sebastian. Okay. All right. Well, I have had a great time talking with you. I always love hearing about all your travels. It helps me aspire to do something different.
Well, I as well have enjoyed our conversation, and definitely will start to appreciate the beauty around me instead of seeking it from, you know, countries away. So thank you for that, for sharing all of your stories.
If you enjoyed listening in to this episode and would like to hear more episodes like this, reply to gvecunplugged@gvec.org to give us your feedback. The same goes if you have ideas on how we can make the podcast more interesting to you or would like to join us for an episode. We want to hear from you. Be sure to subscribe to the GVEC Unplugged podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Overcast. Take care of each other, GVEC team, and stay safe till next time.